Heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and happy Monday to all of you. Hopefully you managed to enjoy Jazz Fest weekend if you were here in New Orleans. The weather was wonderful, especially after all that rain we had earlier in the week, which was an unfun thing. So no real weekend news coming out of the Pelicans camp. No Alvin Gentry being fired, Dell Demps being fired, anything whatsoever. Not that we were expecting to hear anything at all. But there was still a lot to take away from this weekend. There are reports of Joe Dumars being linked with another team. Where might he be going? What is the impact on that for this Pelicans franchise? I'm going to talk about that today on Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Also want to talk a little bit about what we're seeing in the playoffs and the importance of space in it. And we're not talking outer space, but space on the court. You really saw it in that series that the Cavaliers swept 4-0 over the Toronto Raptors. LeBron James with shooters and the space it creates for him and allows him to do a whole slew of interesting things. And some of that does apply to this Pelicans team. Some of that also, you know, applies to the Rockets and their series with the Spurs. I'm watching the end of game four right now, the start of the fourth quarter here as I'm recording this. I got it muted. We're not going to wreck the quality of the audio here for you. But there is a lot to talk about and a lot that applies to the Pelicans. So that's what I'm going to focus on here today on Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found. It's on social media. Give it a follow on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. Please like it on Facebook as well if you can and if you're on there. You know, it doesn't seem like much, but all of that really is very important for the podcast. Now more than ever, after the past couple of weeks, some of the news that's come out and everything we've heard, you know, this podcast comes to you 4 or 5 days a week, depending on what's going on with the team, you know, and it's free. There's no paywall, you know, there's no special podcasts for paying members or subscribing members, anything like that. It's free for you guys. And part of the reason is the numbers it gets for being subscribed to, the Facebook likes, the Twitter follows, all of that's actually very important to this. So please do me a favor, click those buttons. It's quick and easy for you, especially if the Pelicans are your favorite team. You're not getting content like this anywhere else. So let's talk about my favorite person in the world in Joe Dumars. And of course, that's sarcastic here, just making sure. And Dumars is probably one of my least favorite people, despite never having met him. And I'm sure he's nothing but a wonderful guy and has, you know, 3 NBA championship rings, 2 as a player, 1 as a GM with another finals appearance, and also made 6 straight conference finals as GM of the Pistons. But I can't stand this because the amount of like oxygen I feel has maybe been wasted, and all this time and energy that could have been spent discussing like interesting topics with the team, I've been instead asked about Joe Dumars and what are the chances of him coming to the Pelicans. Would he be a good GM? Should he replace Dell Demps? And blah 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 blah. And if you're me, it just drives you insane. Let alone, you know, he's been rumored to be the guy pulling the strings behind the scenes and got, Monty Williams fired so he could move in. And all of this was just largely stupid. And, you know, again, if there's so much smoke regarding this that there should have been fire by now and there never wasn't. And look, I know that Mickey Loomis, the GM, is friends with Joe Dumars. He's a Shreveport native and, like I said, probably just a really nice dude and an NBA Hall of Famer, I believe. But it doesn't mean he was going to take over the team or ever seriously in contention for anything, or that they were going to fire Demps at any point in time. And I largely have always said I believe the reason you heard him linked to the Pelicans is him trying to get back in. And he was on a podcast with Adrian Wojnarowski of Yahoo, maybe future ESPNer right there. And he said, you know, he'd like to build the team again and build a culture and do all of that, which he did in Detroit. you know, he's in his early 50s, so it's not like he's ancient and super old or anything. So it's not like, you know, he's in the 70s when these guys largely don't want to take other jobs. But, you know, he said that on the podcast, and it makes you wonder. He probably does want to get in the NBA, but the Pelicans don't really leak things. The Monty Williams firing came out of nowhere. And then the whole trade with DeMarcus Cousins leaked about 30 minutes before it actually happened. Pretty easy and simple. It's like, that's how they do it. They're not, you know, a leaky organization where big moves and things like that come out a day or two in advance with them. So I've largely never really believed stuff like this about Dumars because of that. And also, if Dumars, like he said in the podcast, wants another position, link yourself to this organization, which he easily could have been doing, and see if it just gets your stock up that another team might take a chance on you. And I think that potentially could be what's going on here with the Atlanta job. And maybe it's just Dumars throwing his name out there because, if you haven't heard, Atlanta is kind of restructuring their front office. Their head coach, Mike Budenholzer, has been their like president of basketball operations after they had that 60-win season in 2014-2015 when they were the top seed in the East. And then they had this guy, their GM. And largely when you have your head coach being the head, like the team president, the GM isn't that big of a deal. They had Wes Wilcox there as their GM. He's going to be moving back and taking an advisory role, and Budenholzer is stepping down from his role as president to focus on coaching the team. We've seen coaches that kind of hold that title of coach and team president haven't done particularly well. You see Stan Van Gundy has that in Detroit. I believe Doc Rivers with the Clippers has it. Tibbs over in Minnesota has it as well. Not exactly championship-winning organizations here, and the Clippers are a mess largely because they haven't made the right moves to put players around Blake Griffin and Chris Paul after they let their old GM, who's now over in Portland, Neil Olshey, walk. So they have an opening, and David Griffin, who I've talked about here on the podcast, has been rumored to go to them. And so apparently the other name linked to it is Joe Dumars, which is an interesting name because it almost, in a weird way, kind of validates the rumors to the Pelicans, though I don't really believe so. And again, I don't know how truthful this is. It's worth noting that it was Mark Stein, who's with ESPN, broke this news on Twitter. Woj is the one who's tied to Joe Dumars. If you research it, a number of years ago, he received like a $100,000 fine while he was GM of the Pistons after the NBA basically conducted a sting operation, sending different memos to league executives with spelling errors, grammar changes, just little changes to see who was leaking things. And it was always Dumars leaking to Woj. And that's his boy and one of his biggest sources. So, you know, again, if he's not breaking it when it comes to Dumars, I'm not entirely sure I want to believe it. And, you know, he likes Dumars and might be willing to do him a solid and get his name out there, as he's done with the Pelican stuff in the past. So, again, a lot of smoke, maybe, you know, no fire behind it. But if you're a Pelicans fan, this is good news, because this probably means Dumars isn't going to come here to the Pels. And, you know, if he's there and he goes to the Hawks, great. You know, most people don't think he's going to be a very competent GM at this point. He did do a good job in the first part of his tenure there in Detroit, but in the latter half made very bad trades, was kind of getting swindled by other GMs, made some really bad signings that went against analytics, particularly Josh Smith, I believe, giving him a max deal at the time. He ended up being waived by the Pistons. So, you know, it's not a guy you necessarily want to be in the Pelicans front office, and it's nice to see him at least linked with other teams. So Pelicans fans, you might not need to worry about this too much. It also seems like the Pelicans are looking to bring back Alvin Gentry and Dell Demps, regardless of whether you think that's the right move or not. Hey, by the way, your company could be right here. Advertise and become a sponsor of Locked On Pelicans, and you're going to reach a fantastic audience that's very passionate about the subject matter and material, the Pelicans, that they're listening to. And recent studies have actually shown that podcast listeners are largely more inclined to interact with potential sponsors than any other form of media. And that's because we select it, we customize it, and we make it fit what you're trying to get out there, your company, your product, whatever it is. I work with each individual sponsor on this. So it's a great way to get out there, reach a very passionate fan base. Payment and the rates is all based around the number of listens of the podcast. So you're getting your value's worth. Contact me. You can email me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. jake@bourbonstreetshots.com to get started for your company here on Locked On Pelicans today. Let's switch gears here and talk about the NBA playoffs, which I've been keeping a very close eye on. And it's been a lot of fun to watch so far. But one of the things that really stands out in this incredible run for the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have swept every round so far in the playoffs, are 8-0 now. And they are looking unstoppable, and LeBron in particular looks unstoppable. And part of that is it's LeBron, and I think it was DeMar DeRozan who said after game four with the Toronto Raptors that, hey, they could have won that game too if they had LeBron James. And LeBron went off the other night with them. But I want to go back to game two, because that's what really kind of stood out to me regarding this. And in that game, LeBron James had 39 points, and the Cleveland Cavaliers won 125-103 and just were absolutely dominant. And one of the reasons LeBron had such a good game is he only took 14 shots but got to the line an unbelievable 21 times. Free throws. You guys have heard me talk about it on here, how the Pels aren't particularly good at doing this. But it ties into a few things, and it's just being illustrated out there on the court right now. In the game two, the Cavaliers shot 18 of 33 for 54.5% from three. Basically, it's LeBron out there with four shooters, and it creates just an unbelievable amount of space for him to work. And when he has that space, you either isolate him one-on-one on a defender, where they can't handle him and he gets to the rim, or they foul. Or you put two guys on him and they still foul, or what have you, and he is dominating. Again, 21 times he shot a free throw in that game, made 15 of them. Not a great percentage, but hey, that's 15 points. But the reason this is working so well is those shooters are hitting shots. 18 of 33. You have Kyle Korver, who is sniping from distance. Kyrie Irving, who's a good shooter from distance. Kevin Love. And so on and so forth. You can keep on going down the line. Channing Frye stepped up for him. In that game, he was 5 of 7 from deep. And what this does is it puts players around the perimeter. So when LeBron drives, and I've talked about this, and this actually came from Eric Gordon when he showed up to a Bourbon Street Shots watch party, and this is why you should always go to any event that I'm trying to run or throw when it comes to the Pelicans, because you never know who's going to be there, whether it's a player or someone else. And it's always fun to talk hoops with it, these sort of things. But when he drives, if he's one-on-one and there's any contact, the refs can see it. The sight lines are just so open, you don't miss a foul. Look at DeMarcus Cousins with this Pelicans team and how often he's complaining under the basket at a ref and not getting back on defense because he thought he should have been fouled. But sometimes the refs don't see it because you have Anthony Davis down low. You know, you have defenders sagging off Solomon Hill because he's not really a threat from three-point range consistently like he should be, because Tim Frazier isn't a shooter, so players can go underneath screens on him or just sag off on him. They're going to live with you taking open threes like that. And that's not what you want against the Cavaliers. You can't do that. They have to stick on those guys, and it's the importance of shooting and how it just all of a sudden synergizes with this offense and opens it up so more. And you could do this with Anthony Davis. If you remember a couple of years ago, Zach Lowe wrote an article about Anthony Davis and what the Pelicans wanted to do with him, and that was put four shooters on the court with him, get him the ball on the free throw line, and let him do work with the passing ability that he started to show off that one year. Well, the passing ability hasn't been there, but he just hasn't had shooters who can make those shots, so teams will crowd the paint against the Pelicans. It's been a problem. DeMarcus Cousins actually helps with this because he does have good three-point range, and he was a very consistent shooter for the Pels, shooting almost 40% from there on the year. So it doesn't, really worry me. You have two bigs where everyone is saying the Pelicans are going a different direction than the rest of the league and zagging pretty hard from them, because these guys have range, and I think it can still help space the court. And it's not really about those guys. It's about getting other guys who can actually hit three-pointers. You know, throwing money at a guy like J.J. Redick this offseason, depending on what the cap situation is and everything, could be a really smart move. Getting a lot, a knockdown three-point shooter that's going to actually create more free throws for Davis and Cousins, because when they're attacking, if there's no one else below the paint, because again, they can space the court for each other, they can get those calls because you don't have three or four defenders they're running into. That's been a problem, and you particularly see it, you know, on the court for the Pels, and you see how it's working when they can actually space the court for LeBron James. And of course, again, it is LeBron James, and that's why I brought up the DeMar DeRozan quote, because everyone would win if he was on the team. But the point still remains. And you kind of see the opposite of it when it comes to the Houston Rockets at time. Go back to game two for them in their series against the San Antonio Spurs, where they lost 121-96. They shot 32.4% from three-point range that night. Harden had a total of 13 points. They can kind of clamp down on him and play defense in the lane when he doesn't have his teammates hitting three-pointers, when Patrick Beverley goes 1 of 5, when you have Eric Gordon going 3 of 7, which isn't enough to help float this team ahead with everything. What the Spurs have been doing, which has been pretty interesting, is they're willing to let Harden get to the rim and then take away the three-point shot. And you've seen it that in Game 3, Harden had like 43, 45 points, but they still lost and weren't really able to do what they wanted to do because they weren't shooting well from deep and the Spurs weren't giving them those looks. So it's kind of the flip side here compared to the Cavaliers. But the thing about that is the three-point shot is such an important part of the Rockets' offense that if they're not hitting them or not getting those looks or not taking those attempts, and they deliberately generate longer three-point attempts for Eric Gordon in particular and Lou Williams and Ryan Anderson to make sure those shots are open because of the way it works with James Harden. But the three-point shot is such a big part of their offense that if they're taking all that away, Harden can't beat another team necessarily by himself. Here the Pels have Davis and Cousins, and if you can get three shooters with the way that Cousins shoots the three ball, you actually have a lot of potential that even if they're clamping down on three-point shooters, these other two guys can win because we've seen them combine, put up, you know, 60, 70 points just by themselves. So if you get a little bit of help from the other guys, all of a sudden you're in 100 points pretty easy. So, you know, just something to take away from these playoffs. Keep it on your radar as you watch them. A lot of fun is out there on the court, and there's things the Pelicans can use and take and adapt and that we can learn from and put it in context to this team to see how maybe they should approach free agency and some of the coaching tweaks and changes that they need to do next season. So that's going to do it for your Monday edition of Locked On Pelicans. Again, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Still plenty to talk about. Front office dominoes are starting to fall with the Hawks now having an opening, Orlando having an opening, David Griffin, the Cavs GM, being the hottest candidate among all of them. So we'll see what happens. Do the Pelicans make a move? Do they not? There's no word, though. Again, sounds like they're leaning towards keeping them. So again, I'm Jake Madison. Enjoy your Monday, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.